I've seen a lot of stuff online lately about bears. That's probably actually a foreseeable thing, given where we live and the time of year it is. I see posts on local Facebook groups about bears being spotted and things like fish waste being dumped, foolishly, in public places. Seriously, side note here. If you're listening and you just dump your fish waste wherever, don't be stupid. If you're in Dillingham, use what the city has set up at the landfill to accommodate fish waste. If you live somewhere else, check into whatever your own community has to address this. Don't just dump stuff where it's going to draw in bears and then become a hazard to the public and maybe even the bear needing to be put down. Show some class and do it right. Okay, side note over. Again, the timing shouldn't be a surprise. We live here, bears live here. And we actually have a fair number of brown bears, when compared to other parts of the state. So bears and people are going to cross paths. It's as inevitable as the salmon migrating back each summer. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I feel a little bit like I've been trapped in a cycle for a few weeks. There has been a string of revisited past topics, not that there's anything wrong with that. I'll make an effort in the coming weeks to break that cycle. For this week, however, let's revisit sharing our world with bears, with an eye toward safety, within that shared world. It should be noted that there are three types of bears in Alaska: brown, black, and polar. If you've got your hand in the air wanting to offer up a fourth, grizzly, you can put it back down. Grizzlies and browns are one and the same, but for the preponderance of fish in their diets. For today's purposes, I'm going to kick polar bears to the curb because you have almost as great a chance of running across a tiger or a crocodile around here as a polar bear. As today's focus will be safety, if you plan to travel north into polar bear country, then, by all means, check into appropriate safety measures for polar bears. We do have some black bears, but, by and large, when you hear me say bears, I'm talking about brown bears. Because far and away, that's mostly what we have and live with. Again, I have talked about this before. However, I had a request from someone in town who deals with bears to address this as a topic. Fact is, people come and people go around our area. There are probably a fair amount of listeners today who weren't here for the last time bear safety was a topic. Also, it's easy enough to not remember something that was shared over the course of 10 minutes a year or several years in the past, so there's that. With people itching to get outside in whatever capacity possible, and summer here now seems like a dandy time. Bears can seem daunting. Should you be concerned? I'm going to say yes and no. Yes, you want to be bear aware. Yes, you want to be knowledgeable about what to do if you encounter a bear. No, it's not likely you're going to have an encounter that leads to any sort of physical interaction. Allow me to try and back that up with numbers. Using information shared in an article by the Alaska Dispatch News and as compiled by the Wildlife Research Institute, people are 45 times more likely to be killed by a dog than by a bear, 120 times more likely to be killed by bees than a bear. Darn those pesky pollinators anyway. And a whopping 250 times more likely to be killed by lightning than a bear. Also, you don't even want to know how many risks you take each and every day getting in and out of that death trap you call a car or truck. Now, some of this is, no doubt, a bit of twisting of the numbers. A lot of it has to do with how you live your life and where you choose to live it. For example, folks up in Barrow run a much lower risk of death by tornado than people in central Kansas, a thing those living in Montana can claim when it comes to deaths by shark attack. We live in Alaska. Alaska has bears, and as I mentioned, a lot of them when considered against bear populations worldwide. Our territories overlap. There are bound to be run-ins, attacks, and, occasionally, fatalities. Just like flying increases your risk of dying in a plane crash, living around bears likely adds to the risk of having a bad encounter with a bear. Even so, you should know that the actual chances of a fatal attack are exceedingly low. Every day, I see people getting into planes and cars, oohing and aahing over puppies on the trading post, and going boating on pretty summer days. All of those things carry a higher death risk than bears, but people still do them. Perhaps it's the fact that those things lack the scary claws and teeth of bears, so we don't tend to think of them as dangerous risks. Okay, so maybe I'm being just a bit glib, but there's truth to what I say. Far more people die up here every year by way of drowning, hypothermia, and small plane crashes. That's just a simple truth, and the math backs it up. Really, in considering the topic of living and dealing with wildlife, from a safety standpoint, there's only a few species that even hit the radar, and bears are at the top of that list. No one ventures into the woods concerned about hyper-aggressive red-backed voles or mob-mentality spruce hens. Moose are certainly worthy of caution, much more so in my opinion, but it's the bears that command attention. I should mention I don't hold myself out to be a bear expert, but by virtue of my job, I have to undergo firearm and pepper spray training each year and bear safety classroom training every 3 years or so. So I get a chance to hear and practice information related to bear safety on a regular basis. Also, I spend a lot of time outdoors in bear country, professionally and personally, just like a lot of you. That said, though I've been close to bears on a number of occasions, I've never been charged by one or had anything resembling an incident. I'd like to think the many hours of training I've had would be helpful if something ever really did happen. However, as boxer Mike Tyson once famously opined, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Or, to quote a meme I saw, with all the stop, drop, and roll we practiced as a kid, I somehow thought I'd be on fire more as an adult. The overwhelming majority of potentially dangerous bear encounters happen for a fairly limited number of reasons. Those reasons are a sow with cubs, close proximity to a food source, crowding a bear too much, and surprise encounters. Those reasons likely cover over 99% of all potentially dangerous bear encounters. Sows are uber protective of their young, make every effort to avoid being in close quarters with sows and cubs. Also, try to avoid food sources if you know they are there and near. I'm talking about things like really small streams that are thickly choked with spawning salmon or large carcasses such as moose, caribou, or marine mammals. Surprise encounters are obviously something you can't predict, but you can lessen the chances of one happening by doing things like avoiding places that would provide for a better opportunity for that to happen, such as traveling through thick timber on a bear trail, and never purposefully crowd bears. I've seen or heard about people doing really idiotic stuff just to try and get a picture of a bear with their camera or phone. Those are the types of folks who are doing everything in their power to land themselves a Darwin Award. So let's talk about brown bears. Again, we do have black bears in the area, but brown bears are far more numerous. If you find yourself in a close encounter with a brown bear, here are some things to keep in mind. If you see a bear and it doesn't see you, turn around and go back. Don't disturb it. If it does see you, don't panic. Stand your ground and identify yourself. Stand tall, wave your arms, and speak in a loud, low voice. I have done this several times myself, and in every instance the bear has turned and ran. So either the tactic works or my deodorant really isn't doing what it claims. Whatever else you do, don't run. That triggers them to want to chase. They are hardwired to do that, just like pretty much every other large predator. Whatever you think of your athletic skills, you can't outrun a bear. I have had reputable people who know what they are talking about tell me they've clocked bears doing as much as 40 miles per hour or more through heavy brush. I read an article that said they can outrun a quarter horse over 200 yards. That's faster than Usain Bolt, the man who for a long time was the fastest human on the planet. You're no Usain Bolt and neither am I. Stand your ground or back away slowly and diagonally. If they stand up, that's actually not a bad thing. They're curious animals, and standing is an action of curiosity. They will often stand to get a better look or a better whiff. If the bear starts to follow, stop. At this point, it's possible a charge is imminent. Keep in mind that the vast majority of charges are bluff charges. Many times they'll charge to within a few feet before veering off. I realize that's too late in the game to salvage your undergarments, but it does provide for not needing immediate medical attention. If contact is made, it's time to drop into a fetal position and play dead, covering your head and protecting your belly. Surprised bears usually stop attacking once you are no longer seen to be a threat. Okay, switching to black bears. If it's a black bear, always fight back if attacked. Studies have shown that black bear attacks are most often predatory in nature. The bear is hungry, and the person is seen as a food source, so fight back for all you're worth. Use heavy objects to strike the bear if you have anything near. Concentrate your blows on the face, eyes, nose, and snout. Aside from what to do in the case of unexpected close encounters, there are some things to do that can provide for a higher margin of safety while you're out there doing your thing, be it hunting, fishing, hiking, or just camping. The biggest thing is to stay away from high-use bear areas and keep your camp clean. For example, a gravel bar littered in dead salmon probably isn't your best bet for a campsite. Keep your cook area separate from where you sleep and never, ever have food in your sleeping area. Keep your trash contained and away from your sleep area. Try to limit smelly items in camp. Make a lot of noise when you travel, and if possible, keep the wind at your back, though these really aren't viable options when you're hunting. Travel with groups when possible and avoid being out there alone. Carrying protection is a very good idea, but I strongly, strongly urge you to practice with whatever you carry and be utterly proficient with it, whether it's bear spray or a firearm. The bottom line is that we do live where there are bears, and a fair number of them at that. I personally think that's a very cool thing, and that it adds to the mystique of Alaska. Bears are real, but there are far more dangerous and statistically more likely causes of death to be found around Alaska than bears. Plan well and exercise caution. That's about the best you can do, be it bears, cars, planes, bees, banana peels, or anything else that can bring your time on Earth to an end. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.